Welcome to the Superintend Podcast. I'm Idaho Superintendent of Public Instruction, Debbie Critchfield. Our new podcast is a way to highlight important issues in education, success in our state, and talk about the work we do at the department. Each episode is about 10 minutes long, so we're calling it the Superintend. On this episode, we're going to talk about how we fund our schools in Idaho. K-12 public education is paid for with a mix of local, state, and federal funds. It's a complicated formula that most people, frankly, inside and outside of education, don't understand. And to help us walk through it, I've invited Idaho Department of Education CFO and budget extraordinaire Gideon Tolman in for a conversation. Gideon, welcome to the Superintend Podcast.
Thank you, Debbie. Happy to be here.
So we're going to get nuts and bolts here about funding in schools. And it takes in three levels, the local, the state, and the federal. Can you give us just a kind of that elevator speech about what each of those things do and how the districts access them?
You bet. Yeah, I would say the core of public school education funding in Idaho is around a classroom, or what we sometimes refer to as a support unit. But that funds kind of the like I said, the core operations of a classroom. And a lot of that funding is taxpayer funding, what we call the general fund. And like you said, we also have local funds that are part of the mix. And often those are in the form of bonds, supplemental levies that pay for a variety of things.
And that's what the local taxpayer, when they're asked to go support a levy, that's where that comes. They're saying, I'm okay with paying more taxes locally to my school district, and here's how we're voting. Or not okay, depending on how the vote turns out.
Right. On the state side, with the general fund, kind of the general overall taxpayer funding, sometimes districts or charters in some communities will say, you know, we're so grateful to have this funding from the state, but we could really use a little bit of additional funding to pay teachers more, or hire additional staff, or pay for
curriculum,
athletics or curriculum, sure, or other programs. And yeah, that's where
how
that
we kind of get to that supplemental
in
term. We're right, supplementing what the state sends.
Right. And a lot of times with that term supplemental, we say that a lot, but those local funds are often providing critical services for those districts and charters as well.
My experience, and I want you to correct me where I'm wrong here, when we break down percentage-wise, about 70% of the funding that a school district receives comes from the state level, meaning all the state revenues that are collected, 70% of the monies that they have to operate a local district have come from the state level. 20% comes from the federal government, and 10% is that local taxpayer piece. Am I close?
Yes. You know, we have about, it's close to a $2.5 billion general fund
budget.
With a B, yeah. Yes. And then we have another $153 million or so that's combined with that in what we call dedicated funds that makes up kind of the state portion of funding to schools.
So dedicated meaning they are specifically slated for go to education.
Right, right. And then for federal funding, we have right now, it's probably about $300 million. And then on the local side, with levies and some of those funding sources we just talked about with those local taxes, that's another $200 million or so statewide.
So it's an interesting discussion, and I know we're here to really talk about the presentation of the budget, but just as a side note, the amounts, as we, you know, add them up with the calculator, I mean, we're talking about just enormous amounts of money. And so I can respect and understand when there are voices that say, there's a lot of money that goes into education. They're not wrong.
Right.
And so when we really get down into, okay, well, this amount of money has been appropriated by the legislature, the local community has also said, hey, we'll add to that. And then the federal government says, and here's some, you know, some other things. How that money gets distributed in a local sense, that's where we get into some different characteristics. Again, as someone that was, you know, a local board member, I don't know if this has changed, but about 85% of a local budget goes for salaries and employees. Is
correct.
That, would you say that's still current, accurate?
It is.
And then we look at, you know, districts are going to have differences, as they should. Local boards determine what their, you know, budgeting priorities are. But across the board, districts are all paying for fuel. They're all paying for utilities, lights on, internet. What are some of those other, what am I missing in here? Those like the same things.
Right. Yeah. Those are kind of the core. You've got, you know, curriculum. Everyone needs a curriculum. And I think, you know, you've covered the others. Some of those core things, just reiterating what you said, you know, salaries and benefits, that's the big one. And included in that is health insurance for employees.
Oh, yeah.
You've got the transportation costs and then the facilities costs as well. And so those are the big ones, kind of in that core staffing and operations piece of school budgets.
So when we add up, again, thinking about percentages, or if you think of, you know, I like to think of, I'm such a visual person, think of it as a pie chart. When you add all of those things up, it's not that much that a local board has specific control. I mean, it can be anywhere, you know, from maybe only 5 to 7% once they've paid all the have-tos, that then they can say, hey, here's an initiative, or here's some of those things. And so I think that from, you know, my experience and then what we hear from boards, local board members, that may be why they feel like they don't have as much money as they'd like or feel like they need, because they don't have as much control on some of those things. Now, I don't have a problem or a criticism that most of the money goes to people. That's the business that we're in, teachers. That's what we're trying to provide the teaching and learning environment. What are some things that you hear from districts that they pay for that maybe aren't covered by the state?
Sure. So a lot of what I hear is costs for salaries for folks that do go beyond what the state allocates for them. But then with a lot of the supplemental levies that have passed, especially recently, you'll see a lot of things for music programs or athletics or some of the extracurricular activities that maybe schools don't have as much funding or flexibility with and could use some extra support in those areas.
So let's kind of go down that road a little more. As the money gets sent to the local district and it'll come again from those three sources, what role do administrators, superintendents, school board members have in the actual disbursement and allocation of the money at the local level?
A lot of what the state provides is an allocation to schools. So there are formulas that determine, okay, this is the amount of money that's going to be sent to your district or charter. But once it gets there, there are many strings attached. And like we said earlier, there are specific uses for those items. But if we look at the funding that's allocated for salaries and benefits, for example, it's really the board in coordination with the school leadership, the school administrators, that determine what the salary schedule will be for those.
And that would be the career
charters.
Ladder in this place. And so
right.
The state sends a minimum, really. They're saying, here's what, you're not going to pay less than this.
Right.
And then a district, a board has the opportunity either through supplementing or making other budget decisions to say, we're going to pay our teachers more or are classified. And you see districts all across the state. You get to look at everybody's budget. And I'm sure that you see that represented.
Right. Yes. And we do there. And like we said earlier, there are some specific items and there's not a lot of room for too much creativity within there, but local boards are really, really the ones who help determine how each piece of the pie is distributed at their, or is implemented at their level.
Local boards have a requirement to have a budget hearing every June.
Right.
And you know, you could about play football in the room with the amount of people that go to those, but they're such important meetings. And so we'll as we get closer to next June, if you want to know where the dollars are going and you don't want to sift through bills on a website, you can go to see how they spent the money the year before and how they're going to spend the money that they're going to get. I'd like to take a little bit of time. Will you hang out and can we do another segment? Let's talk about what the funding and the formula and the creation of how we get the dollars at the state level, what that looks like.
You bet.
You stick around with us?
You bet. Happy to.
Again, our guest on this episode of the podcast has been the Idaho Department of Education CFO, Gideon Tolman. Superintend Podcast is produced by the Idaho Department of Education. Episodes are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. They can also be streamed on YouTube and at the department's website, sde.idaho.gov. I'm Superintendent Debbie Critchfield. Thank you for listening.